I've let go of those expectations, but you can't really describe what your body goes through. And it's always evolving, and it's not a linear process of like, oh, I feel good today, so tomorrow I'm going to feel the same. It's like, well, tomorrow I might feel awful. Like my pelvis might just feel off because it's hypermobile right now. So it's not something you can really prepare for because everyone is different.
We want to thank the Patreon supporters that have signed up to support Trail Runner Nation. Thank you so much.
And by now, for you that have received your thank you package for your Patreon participation, you have your race bib for the 1,000-mile Cocopelli 1000.
That Cocopelli 1000 is a race that each of you have the opportunity now to participate in. The important thing to remember is that you just need to start training now. Get a good base and really get good aerobic capacity.
You need some vertical in there too, because no doubt we're going to import, if the course doesn't have adequate vertical on it, we're going to bring in the soil and create our own mountain if we need to.
If you want to participate in the Cocopelli 1000 or hear some of the bonus miles episodes, you can go to our website, trailrunnernation.com. On the top bar there, there's a thing that says support us, and you can sign up at different levels and participate in the Cocopelli 1000.
No, don't start recording yet.
Good. Oh, crap.
What?
Press record.
Green's not record, right?
That's really out of my pay grade.
People, Don did not prep, and I think there are a few more bullet points that we'll be discussing.
All right, are we ready?
Yeah. Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Scott War, and Don Freeman got lost this morning on the trail. He has not made it back to his office, and we're starting the podcast without Don, but he will be joining us soon. I did a little GPS track, and he should be joining us unless he falls off a cliff somewhere. A lot of us know the elite runner Paula Radcliffe, and Paula was an Olympic marathon champion. And she started running. She had a child and started running just 12 days after she had that child. And 9 months later, won the New York Marathon in 2007. Today's podcast is on mothers and running and how you go through this life-changing physical transformation and can still either continue to run or actually become better. And with that, we have a few great guests and moms. We have Dr. Stephanie Howe, who is an elite runner. She's won Western States in 2014 and came in third place in 2015, just a year later. She's won the Lake Sonoma 50-mile championship, and she is the course record holder for that course. She has a PhD in nutrition and exercise science. And she's a coach. She's a nutritionist.
You can find her at stephaniemariehowe.com.
And she is the newest mother on this episode. In 2020, she had a young son, Julian. How many months ago now, Stephanie?
So he just turned 2 months old. Feels like yesterday. I can't believe I already have a two-month-old. But I'm a brand new mom.
And that's one of the reasons why she was selected. Our next oldest mom, that doesn't sound right. The next oldest mom, sorry, you shouldn't be offended by that, Anna, is Anna Frost. also an elite level runner. All of our runners are elite level runners. She's won Hard Rock in 2015 and 2016 and was fourth in 2017. So she knows how to climb mountains and endure. She's also the 2012 Sky Running World Series second place finisher. She has a daughter named Skylar that was born in 2019. So, Anna, thank you for joining us from New Zealand. We appreciate that.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you.
And finally, we have a guest that's been on multiple times, Sally McCray. And many of you know that she is a mother of two teenagers. Well, not quite a teenager. One teenager, one preteen. She's also an elite level runner. She's finished in the top 10 at Western States, at Badwater. and ironically has gone down to New Zealand to Anna's neck of the woods and placed first place in 2018 at the Tarawera 100-mile run. So, Sally, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We're going to do a quick disclaimer. Like all topics that we talk about on Trail Runner Nation, everything is individual. So some of the things we're going to talk about today, we are talking with elite women racers here that are amazing athletes. So what may work for them may work for you, or you may have to find your own trail, right? And so we want to make that perfectly clear we're all individuals. We're experiment of one. And frankly, our lawyers made us say that disclaimer so that we're not getting get sued. Do we have lawyers, Don?
Oh, man.
Yeah, we do. They're not very good, but we do have lawyers. Now, Scott and I had a...
You almost have to. This day and age, you have to have a disclaimer for everything now.
Now, just so you know, Scott and I had a very interesting trail run conversation about being moms. And so we thought it would be better if you guys joined us because we really don't know a lot about it. But one thing that we thought was interesting is that we have two elite racers that were championship runners standing on podiums and then decided to have children. And we have another, Sally, who had children and then became a champion racer. So we're really coming at it from two different angles. And the group that we hope to serve is the ladies that are out there that either land in one of those two camps, and to all the gentlemen that are supporting these ladies to make sure they understand and hear the voice from these gals that have a very unique experience.
Here's my first question. All of you have had children, and all of you have raced very, very difficult races. Which is more difficult?
Mm.
This is fresh in my mind, so maybe yes. I'll take a first stab at this. I felt like everybody told me, oh, you're going to do really well at labor because you're an athlete. You're good at handling pain and you push yourself. And although that is true, labor pain is so much different than running pain or any other pain you can experience in your life because you have zero control over it. You're literally just along for the ride and you have to just take what comes at you. And so I wouldn't say they were similar at all. And I mean, I think labor pain, I wouldn't say it's like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but it was very intense.
Indescribable.
So different from anything else. And I hate comparing it to, everyone wanted to compare it to an ultra. I'm like, this is not like an ultra at all. Like, not even close.
Well, and the thing is, with an ultra, you can stop and sit down at an aid station and say, that's it, I'm taking the car back. But when you're in labor, you can't do that. You've got to go through with it. You can't be like, nope, I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. Also, you signed up for that pain. You signed up for the pain that comes with the ultra.
You probably paid money for it.
Well, I think 9 months before, you also signed up for that, Sally.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the kind of pain that you're like, you know what? I don't feel... This isn't my day. I think I'm going to drop out at this upcoming aid station. When the pain of labor comes on, there's no dropping out.
The only thing I think that helped me being an athlete was, I mean, like, one, being conditioned, that helps. But then two, just knowing we can do hard things. I knew, like, you know, this is not going to be pleasant, but I've done unpleasant things before. So
mentally there was an advantage, maybe.
I love it.
There was a mental training advantage that you knew that you could do hard things.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, now there's a lot of ladies that haven't run an ultra that have children already. We can see evidence of that. There's some special powers in all women that can muster up that whatever's needed. And I think that's fascinating.
Thanks for that, Don.
And also, you know, when we talk about it, we look at stats and we see that women, we keep hearing that women are tougher than men. When we just talked about the Forlong Hope Trail, that group, all the women survived. Maybe women are tougher. Maybe they are given an extra measure of grit that we men are just lacking. I hope not to lose my man card from these comments. I've hidden it and I've made a copy of it just in case it's taken from me. But I give a lot of respect and kudos to the females.
I just want to confirm in there, though, too, Don, that it's amazing the strength of a man and a woman, right? I mean, I think women are incredibly strong, but it's also amazing when you have a strong man behind you. Men have their strengths and women have their strengths, and it's pretty beautiful. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and I think to follow up on all of that as well, that going back to like ultra running mothers, yeah, you're right. You know, mothers have been doing this for a lot longer than ultra runners have been doing this. And I think what people often talk about with why ultra runner mothers could do better at having a child, I've also heard the other. And I think it comes down to resilience. And I don't put that down to being an ultra runner completely. I think resilience comes from a place as parents that we can instill that in our children.
Yes.
And not just parents, but you know, aunties, uncles, friends, that all of us, all the role models in the world, that's something that we have to instill in our young, and especially in these really, really hard times, that we need resilience to be like, okay, this is all right, I've got this. Like, things aren't normal, but things continue and will continue as long as I'm resilient and have some grit and determination, then we can achieve. And so I don't think having a child is anything particularly special that we haven't done before. And I think men and women are strong for doing that. And, you know, on the complete flip side, I've heard that some mothers that are so strong from being these strong athletes, childbirth is actually a bit harder because their muscles are so tight and tense that when they contract, they're just squeezing their baby, and the baby's like, oh, I don't know what to do. And it flips over and gets squished and gets sent in the wrong way. So, you know, it's not particularly that an ultra running mum will be the strong mum. And I think sometimes mothers can, and even just at any level of runners, can get a little bit disheartened with that, because all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, but I'm a runner. Oh yeah, but I'm an athlete. I'm so strong. But why was this childbirth so hard? So I think, yeah, we tend to set ourselves up for a little bit of disappointment sometimes with that.
No, I was just going to say that's a really good point. And I've been having some conversations with other new moms, and a lot of athletes, they do have a more difficult time with the childbirth process. And a lot of them end up having C-sections. And not that that's not a natural birth at all, but I think they have the expectation that they're going to be able to like go in and not get any epidural and be able to have this, you know, birth experience, and then it doesn't go as planned, and like, well, you know, I'm an athlete, like I should be strong enough to do this, and it's really not the case.
And that's exactly what happened with me. I had to have the C-section, and you know, I tried for 48 hours to do it on my own because I had this grit and determination that I was going to have this natural birth. And so when the baby started going through distress and they were like, you've got 30 seconds to get your head around the C-section, as they were wheeling me up to the surgery, and the baby was out in 16 minutes or something. So all of a sudden you go from this incredibly strong human to being completely cut in half and losing all your strength and, you know, not even being able to sit up and hold your baby. And it was an incredibly like, wow, like I've just completely changed.
Yeah.
Anna, you had longer labor than it takes you to run Hard Rock.
Right, exactly.
that's an amazing comparison. I had a quick question. Let's maybe even approach this from pre-labor to the labor and then the after labor. On the pre thing, I cannot imagine as a man the changes that your body goes through as a woman as this child is developing and trying to continue to run. I assume all of you were very active. I know that I've most recently been watching Stephanie. I mean, she was running probably up until the day she gave birth. How does that change of your body affect just your running gait and your stamina and, you know, the added weight? How does that affect you? Let's start with Stephanie and then we'll go around the room.
I could talk about this all day. So I found it, so I had an easier time with my pregnancy because I let go of any expectations of my body. I wasn't trying to stay fit. I wasn't like, I must run 4 days a week. I must, you know, exercise if I didn't feel good. And so that really helped me mentally. I just didn't feel this pressure. And there were some weeks where I just couldn't get out of bed and I just had to chill out and, you know, not do much. And then there were some weeks where I felt great and I was able to get out. And I did a lot more biking than running later in my pregnancy, just because it did start to get uncomfortable. And it's kind of a mind trip to go through. Like for me, like running, you know, an 8 or 9 minute mile isn't hard. but when I was pregnant and as I got into my third trimester, if I could break a 10 minute mile, I was like crushing it. And I just remember this one run I went on. Like it was like the week before Julian was born and I had been hiking, for the most part. And I did this 10K hike. So 5K out, turn around, 5K back. And on this particular day, I hiked out for my 5K and then I turned around and I ran all the way back. And I was like super proud of myself. Like, yeah, like I wonder what your pace per mile was. I bet it was much faster. It was slower than when I just did the hike. To put it in context of like, you're just, you know, your body just feels so foreign. Like I was moving slower than a hiking pace trying to run. Waddling does not describe it and does not describe how labored it is to breathe and how much you're sweating and how much effort I was putting in to run like a 12 minute mile. So
now you know what it's like for me to run, Stephanie.
Well, yes. But you know, when you're used to running a lot faster, that's like really, it's tough. And when you kind of like identify as an athlete, you're like, wow, you know, like not, it's just like, this is so difficult and this is what I do. And even like postpartum, it's tough. Like I'm still struggling to run. And that's okay. Like I've let go of those expectations, but you can't really describe what your body goes through. And it's always evolving and it's not a linear process of like, oh, I feel good today. So tomorrow I'm going to feel the same. It's like, well, tomorrow I might feel awful. Like my pelvis might just feel off because it's hypermobile right now. So it's not something you can really prepare for because everyone is different. And I'm sure all three of us are going to have different experiences. And I think even like Sally having two kids, you probably experience differences from those two pregnancies. So there's a lot of unknown and things that you just can't really prepare for.
Scott, you said around the horn, and my horn has Anna next. I don't know what your screen shows, but Anna, can you talk a little bit about like the feet, the knees, the back when you're running pregnancy, and maybe for some ladies that are listening, you know, can you share some of your personal, you know, aches and pains and changes and the ebbs and flows that Stephanie was just talking about?
Right. Yeah. So, I had a pretty good pregnancy as well. And the first sort of 12 weeks, I was really just hungover. I just felt like a major hangover every day for 12 weeks. And you know, we do this silly thing where we don't tell people that we're pregnant until 12 weeks, which, you know, when I look back at it now, I think, why is that? You know, you're pregnant, like just be excited about it. And if you know that you're pregnant, like just say it. And the thing is, you know, unfortunately, we know that we, you know, like we lose babies and not all babies continue for their full lifespan, but they were still there and they still should be honored and cherished. And as a woman and a father, I feel like we should be there to say, oh, I'm really sorry for your loss and there'll be another little baby spirit coming along your way. And so, sorry, just a digression on that side, but you know, I just think that all little lives should be celebrated. Anyway, continuing on. So I was actually, and I'll tell you a wee story about this because it was quite funny. I was doing the race, vertical kilometer race series out in Europe. And I just found out I was pregnant, but I couldn't tell anyone because it wasn't this 12 weeks. And so I was green in the face and trying to do these vertical K races, which, you know, like you are redlining it from the very minute you start the start line. And so there I was, like, feeling so green and just being like, oh no, I think it's a bit of food poisoning or something out in Europe. And I had gone to stay with Emily Forsberg, and I was like, oh, well, I have to tell her because she's going to want me to run over a million mountains with her if I don't tell her. And so I said, oh, Emily, I've got something to say. And she said, what is it? What is it? And I said, well, I'm pregnant. And I think I was 8 weeks pregnant at that point. And she looked at me and she goes, me too. And I was like, what? So we were both 8 weeks pregnant. And so we spent the next 2 weeks there laying in the fields and picking berries and not trying to push each other out for a million miles running. So we were both, you know, I think in that first 12 weeks, it's a time to be quite restful with a body that doesn't, it hasn't like started moving yet, but it feels very sick while it's, you know, doing all these hormone changes. Some people get it a lot worse than others. And then, you know, if you look at diagrams of what the woman's body is like when there's a baby growing in there, like your lungs and your liver and your organs and your intestines are in about this much space, like in your ribs. And so you can't breathe. Your heart beats like out here. And there's this big baby sitting there. And it's incredible that the body's just like, move out of the way, all of you organs, and let's grow this big baby. And the diagrams are fascinating to see. So definitely, you know, your heart rate goes up, your breathing rate goes up, your digestion has gone like completely skewer. And then for me at about 7 months, my feet just turned out, like as my hips, I guess, opened up with this big baby sitting there. And so I was like running along like a duck foot. Wow. And I managed about another month of like very light running like that. And then I just thought there's no sort of need for this kind of running. I could tell that all I was going to do was just put myself under stress, my knees under stress with these duck feet. So for the, sort of the last month, I just stuck to paddleboarding and walking, felt really good. And like Stephanie said, I probably would have walked faster than I was trying to run anyway. and so, yeah, I was very fortunate to have a really easy pregnancy and then got paid, you know, paid for it with the labor. So.
Yeah, when you talk about the organs losing their space that they normally have, I never really considered that. You know, I ask you questions about feet, knees, and back. Just being a guy, I'm thinking about the frame, you know. But there's things inside that had to compromise for this baby growing. And for people listening, what Anna showed was a very small space for her organs. It was like a small Ziploc bag. This is what's left for everything that used to take up a large kitchen size bag. During the third trimester, I remember learning when I was in chiropractic school about a hormone called relaxin, and it's released in the third trimester. You ladies are shaking your heads because you know what it is, that all the ligaments begin to stretch a bit, relax a bit, hence the name, and that changes body mechanics too. Maybe that's why the feet moved out, the pelvis spreads, getting ready for this delivery. Did you experience, and Sally, you've been kind of left out of the conversation. Did you experience any of these relaxin things or the body loosening?
No, not really. I have a little bit of complications with being able to give birth. So my body is insanely, I don't make like the hormone or, I ended up being very high risk with my second. So, my daughter, I almost lost her. I had an emergency C-section with her. And then, they determined that I don't make that hormone that actually opens you up. So, so when I had Isaiah, that was also like a really, kind of a scary experience. And I'll kind of backpedal a little bit there too, because I think that what, Stephanie and Anna have both shared is like so important for moms to hear, just both on not only like perspectives, but just like how your body feels. And I have to go on and say too, Stephanie and Anna are very smart, and you can tell they've done like homework and research, and they really know a lot about the body just anyway as athletes. Like, you're very in tune with your body, and when something doesn't feel right, you go and do research on it and you talk to the right people. And so I think this is a very fruitful conversation just on that. When I was pregnant with Mackenzie, we were living in Washington, D.C., and I wasn't around any family. And so my two girlfriends, well, I had a group of really close girlfriends, but two other girls at the same time were pregnant with me. So one was 3 months along further than I was. And then my other girlfriend was like 6 months along further. So we were all pregnant together, and both of them lost their babies. And I was the only one that didn't. And I think that what that did for me while I was pregnant, it was really powerful, because I really believe at the core of who we are. And, you know, and I was training quite a bit still, because I had come out of this mindset as a soccer player. Like, I really believed my whole life was that I was going to be this professional soccer player, I was going to be this athlete. And so at this time, I was just road marathoning, but I was training really hard twice a day. And so when I got pregnant, I remember still wanting to do all of those things. And when my friend Carrie, she lost her daughter when she was 4.5 months pregnant. And then my friend Christina, she gave birth. And then after he was born, they realized that he had cancer on his lungs. So they went to operate and he bled out. And my husband actually did the funeral, for that little baby. And I remember, when he did that funeral for the baby, I was 6.5 months pregnant. And I remember coming home and just thinking, it is such a rare and beautiful gift to be able to get pregnant. And it is such a gift to be able to give birth to a baby. And so my journey, that whole time being away from family and just trying to figure everything out, I remember just telling myself that over and over again, to have grace. Like, grace is like it's one of my favorite words, the concept of something that we can hold on to, because yes, like everything in life is women, like your story and your journey and the way that you feel and how it is that you got pregnant and how it is that you're experiencing pregnancy. It's not supposed to be the same as everyone else. And whether you're an athlete or not, whether you're recreational or competitive, your journey and your story is so beautiful and unique to you, just as is the baby that you give birth to. And I remember when I went into labor with Mackenzie. So this is the little trouble that my body has. I go into full blown labor. So I was in labor for a day and a half with her. And then there's that transition point where it's like, okay, time to open up and have the baby come out. Nothing happens. So I'm in this horrific, painful labor. And, I was a very young mom, and my doctor thought I was very stupid. And so, we went in once, and he was so frustrated with me because he checked me. He's like, you're not even half a centimeter dilated, and you young moms. And he just like ripped me a new one. And so the way that I am, I had written down every contraction for like a day and a half. And I pulled this like 4 pages out and I shove it into his face. I was like, then explain this. Why am I feeling this way? Why are my, you know, my labor pains are starting to be intense. So he sent a nurse in and she hooked me up to a stress test. And within 90 seconds, there was 2 paramedics over me putting an oxygen mask on me. And they threw me into an ambulance, and my husband goes white and I go white, and they say, this baby needs to come out right now. And I remember just bawling as we were running red lights, sirens are on. And I remember just crying and thinking, I'm going to lose my baby too. Like, what makes me so different from Christina and Carrie that I don't get to have my baby? You know, why would I get to keep my baby? And they threw my husband's scrubs at him, and we were running down. It's like a Grey's Anatomy show, you know, we're running down the hallway. Same as you, Anna, that the baby came out, you know, they cut me open super quick, put all my organs into a bowl. And all I did was listen to these doctors like so intently, just, Sally, do you know you don't have any amniotic fluid left? Do you know the cords wrapped around her neck several times? I'm like, I don't know any of this. And I'm just crying and saying, please breathe, please cry, something breathe. And they take her out, and she's this little tiny thing, and she's screaming and crying. And, but you know, the months that followed after that, she just slept right there on my chest, and I would just fall asleep at night and just think, what a gift, a rare and precious gift that I get to have this little one. And so, you know, this past 10, 12 years of being an athlete. And I get moms that reach out to me all the time with these questions that we're talking about. And the number one thing that I can say is just have grace. There's nothing wrong with you. It's such a gift. If you can run for the first 3 months, awesome. If you can't run at all, that's okay, because every season will quickly come and go, and then you'll be in the next season.
I think that's like, oh, I was just gonna like just kind of comment on that a little bit too. I think that's such a beautiful way to say, you know, this is a really short period of your life where you are creating a human, and they're like a little infant who depends on you for their life, you know, like right. You're their world. And I think a lot of times athletes are so, even, well, you're pregnant. You don't really have the connection of what this little baby is, especially early on, because you can't feel it. You don't look pregnant. You just feel sick. And, you know, just how do I stay fit? Or I want to keep my identity as an athlete. And I just think, you know, we need to let go of that a little bit and know that, like, put yourself and your baby first. Like, don't worry about trying to, you know, compete or train or, you know, I think so many people are just worried about like coming out the other end and can I still be an athlete? And, you know, just how Sally said, this is such a precious time and it's not a given. And, you know, I think it's like 1 in 3 women lose their pregnancy. And so to be able to go through to get pregnant, first of all, and then to have a healthy baby, you know, that should be what you're focusing on, not trying to like, you know, be active and be an athlete, because so much can happen. And you realize that, I think, once the little baby is born and they sit on your, lay on your chest for the first time and you hold them, and it's just like, kind of puts it all into perspective.
Yeah. And, adding two more things to what the ladies have both said. You know, if you think of like any other animal, a goat, a sheep, a giraffe, an elephant, they're born and they come out and it takes them, 30 minutes to get to their feet, and they walk to their mother to feed. So those, you know, they've gone through a longer pregnancy, so they're all developed more. And so when they come out, they're kind of a little bit more ready for the world. You know, they can actually like, oh, okay, I've got legs here. But because we've gone through evolution and so now we're standing up and we're, you know, our hips are slowly getting smaller and our pregnancies are getting shorter, we don't have that space for the babies to stay in there any longer. And so we have to push them out. But they're not actually really ready. I mean, they don't walk. They can't eat. They can't even get themselves to your nipple very well. So, you know, that first year, they need you. They cannot survive. I mean, I'm not saying a baby elephant can survive without their mummy for the first few months. But, you know, our babies, our human babies, really, really need that nurturing for a lot longer than any other animals. And I think we tend to forget that a little bit, that baby's feeding and that baby wants snuggles because it's a baby and it needs you and it wants to feel protected. It has no idea what it's just gone into. And so it wants its mummy and its daddy right there with it. So I think that's a really hard thing to remind ourselves all the time. You know, you want your independence back. You want to get your life back. You want to go outside and do your own thing. But, you know, it's not coming back like that. You have to go forward with this new life of yours. And it leads me on to the second thing. You know, I definitely went through postnatal depression, and it was something that I had to learn about because I've never really suffered from anxiety or depression. And all of a sudden, you know, I had this anxiety where I felt like I was getting pushed under mud and I couldn't sleep and I was so anxious and depressed. And I went to a craniosacral therapist. I don't know if any of you have done that. And it's kind of a little bit weird, but wonderful as well. And she said to me, you know, when a baby is born, so too is a new mother. And I love that because she, you know, had to, and this was silly that I didn't just, you know, say, okay, this is me now. But I think for me to be reminded that I was a new person now, I wasn't that person. And she said to me, you're in mourning, you're in grief for this, the person that is no longer. You didn't say goodbye to her. You didn't say, see you later, that Anna. You're now this Anna who has a baby, and welcome to this new world that you're living in with this baby as a mother and a new body and a new forward progression. And so I'm always telling myself there's no going back. I'm not getting that body back. I'm not getting that fitness back. I'm going forward and I'm getting this new body and I've got these new goals and this new journey with my baby. And so for me, that was an amazing thing to hear her say, you need to mourn and say goodbye to that old life.
That's really good. You know, the one thing that we've talked about on this podcast quite a bit is as ultra runners, we can oftentimes be very selfish. We have to get in our runs. Nothing's more important than the back-to-backs on the weekend. And we become a very selfish and that changes when you have a kid, not only for mothers, but also for fathers, probably not as much for fathers, depending on how selfish they are. But it changes your life. And, I love the idea that this is just a season and once you get through it, you know, there's other seasons that are coming up and it's a different season now that you have these small little babies or teenagers, or like we were talking before the podcast, adult children, as Don and I are having the joy of raising adult children now.
I had a question, Scott, and then you said, no, wait a second, I have a better question. I haven't heard it. You went on for a while. Here's my question, ladies. Here's my question. Number one, I'm going to just state, you guys are well-researched. You're very, very smart, all three of you. And you didn't make decisions without investigating and thinking and weighing the consequences, if there's any. And I'm sure you've been asked multiple times by other women, how do you know it's safe to run? How do you know how far to run? How do you know how far to push yourself? Do you have any comments for us about when to engage and when to just let the season of rest exist? Can you give us some guidance there?
Before or after having the baby?
With
the baby.
With the baby. Oh, okay. With the baby. Yeah.
This is like one of the best parts. I any mom that's listening right now that's pregnant, I'm speaking directly to you. You know and feel your body like no one else on the planet. And so you're going to get a lot of opinions, right, mamas? We get so many opinions and everyone has the best advice for us. I'm going to just do a little tangent right there. And let me tell you that when people give you advice, your best response is, thank you so much for that. Let me go talk to my doctor. Yeah. So that'll kind of save you in a lot of situations because you're going to have people that are going to look at you sideways when you go out for a run or you're going to go lift weights and they're going to be like, wow, you're so selfish. But there's a lot of old thought. There's a lot of myths out there and you'll notice that generation by generation kind of feels and thinks differently. And so it's important to not only understand where that's coming from, but to also take that step further and really have the conversation with your doctor because some of it comes down to your own personal health in your current state. So if you have like health issues or you have anything, then you need to pay attention to that. But I also know that even between my two children, like my fitness was like night and day. Like Mackenzie, I felt okay running until 4 months and then that was it. Then it was like, I was on the elliptical, I was on the bike and I lifted weights, but I didn't want to run. I didn't feel like it. I didn't like the way that it felt. But with Isaiah, I could run all the way up until his due date. In fact, he was a week late, so I did wind sprints like out in front of my house. I'm not even joking. I was like, son, come out. So it really came down to like how I was feeling. Now you'll also hear this common thought that, you know, you don't want your heart rate elevated too high for too long. And I was a fitness trainer while I was pregnant with Isaiah. I ran this 5 a.m. boot camp. I did it for years. And I had women that were pregnant at the time and they'd wear their heart rate monitor and they'd say, Sally, can I do this exercise? And oh my gosh, jump roping, it doesn't feel good. And so it was really neat to take a journey with these moms and say, hey, at the end of the day, don't do the exercise if it doesn't feel good. Like you're not bad, you're not weak if you don't do it. That's not what it comes down to. The fitness when you're pregnant is supposed to, there's so many different other things that go into being fit. It's good for your mind. The oxygen that comes in is great. You know, being strong, it feels good whether you're pregnant or not. So you want to keep up with that. But the whole focus is for you to be healthy. And so don't do what doesn't feel good. If your friend is out running 40 miles a week at 7 months pregnant, awesome. Doesn't feel good for you? Don't do it. If you are working out at 180 heart rate and totally dying and redlining every time, ask yourself, why am I doing that? You know? So that isn't always like a healthy way to be. But remember, it's such a gift to be pregnant, and it's such a gift to have an able, strong body. The healthiness that you build up as a pregnant woman, it doesn't need to be all anaerobic, hardcore interval training. You just need to get out and be moving each day for many reasons outside of how good you look in your maternity jeans. So,
yeah, I think you hit a key point there where you said, what is the purpose or what is the intent? And that was something that I asked myself a lot. You know, why am I doing this? It, you know, and if the answer was because it feels effing good, that was a good reason to keep going. And I think it, especially as athletes, you're used to some sort of movement. And I'm a really like bodily kinesthetic person, like that's how I feel good, is I move, like I fidget. I just like my body needs to move. And so I think you have to be a little bit creative in how you do that. But I think it's important to find some sort of outlet while you're pregnant where you can move and you can breathe and maybe sweat. And Sally mentioned talking to your doctor. And yes, I think especially if you have underlying health conditions, and I was a geriatric pregnancy, and I've heard they have a much more pleasant word for it, but my doctor actually used geriatric. Yeah, 36. So I was at risk. Ridiculous. And so, yeah, at the end of my pregnancy, they were monitoring everything. Like I had to go in for a stress test every week and all this stuff. But anyways, so with exercise, you know, she had like the guidelines that she got from like the American Pregnancy Association or whatever that I could read on Dr. Google. And I just didn't find that to be as helpful for me. And again, I'm an athlete and I'm an intuitive person. I know my body. And so I really found it to be, I just tuned inward. And I know that can be really hard to conceptualize and to be honest with yourself. And I was able to actually do on the bike some pretty hard intervals and it felt really good. Running, that was another story. Trying to break a 12-minute mile didn't really happen. But on the bike, I could push some pretty good watts for me and get my heart rate up and sweat and do some hard intervals. And it felt really great. So I think you have to just ask yourself why you're doing it. And it should be for the right reasons. And then like really be honest, like, does this feel good? If it feels good, I think that's a sign that it's probably okay. If it doesn't feel good, if you feel like you're gasping for air or things hurt or just feels like off, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. And I think no one can really tell you that except for yourself.
Hey, Anna, as an elite athlete, to build on what Stephanie was saying, you learn to listen to your body and become in tune with your body. Did that help you through your pregnancy? Were you able to experience maybe your pregnancy maybe at a much different level than, let's say, a non-athlete, do you think?
Like I was saying earlier on, I think athletes are no exception to other mothers that you know, have experienced a pregnancy. I think you're right, though, that runners tend to be more in tuned, but I don't think that's all women. but for sure, from, you know, a almost 20-year running career, you know, I notice every little niggle and twitch and imbalance. And so definitely when you're pregnant, you're like, oh, yeah, there's a big foot over there in my rib. Okay, if you could just move that out of the way. And even, you know, the feelings of being a bit sick in the mornings, you're like, oh, I never feel sick like this. And except for when you, you know, had a big party the night before. And so, yeah, definitely you have to take what you've learned from, am I pushing too hard through this running race or this training, and apply it to your pregnancy and say, yeah,
like both Stephanie and Sally said so perfectly, that you just have to listen to yourself. And I think the biggest challenge for all of us, the biggest threat for all of us, is social media. You just get trapped in this whirlwind and downward spiral of seeing these pictures of these gorgeous mamas with these big, big bellies out there running. And absolutely, I mean, amazing job to all of you that can do that and continue doing it by all means. But when that's your only thing that you're looking at, when you don't, because social media doesn't say, oh, I'm having a really, really horrible day today. I look really fat. I feel really fat. And I'm just going to lie here on the beach and let the water waddle over me. You don't post those photos and you don't say that, but probably 90% of the people are saying, that's exactly what I want to do today. And so, but you see all those pictures of all of those pregnant women doing all those marathons and you're like, well, I'm not doing a marathon. No way am I doing a marathon. But so I think that's the hardest part for us to say, that's them, that's social media, and this is me. And like the other girls said, you know, do what feels good and don't do what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Can I piggy on back on that really quick? Cause that was like such a good comment, because as much as we kind of skate over, hey, social media, it is so powerful. I mean, we've seen that in so many different aspects, especially in the last few years, the power of social media. And I know that for women, it is hard to click into that app and not immediately compare and then start to question yourself. And so, you know, for new moms, for women that are newly pregnant, their being pregnant and having children is not about proving your worth. You are not more valuable if you act and proceed in a certain way while being pregnant. You're not more valuable if your house is perfect when you have little toddlers running around. It is such a gift, and all the feelings that go with it are absolutely natural, and they're supposed to be there. And I think it's one of the most humbling times for a woman in her life when every day is now shifted to focusing on the baby. Anna, you made a really good, I love the discussion that you had with your therapist after you gave birth, you know, this idea of becoming a new mother. Well, you know, it's so true, a new mom, a new baby, but it's also realizing like to have to now do everything with somebody else in mind first is very humbling. That's probably the hardest part about becoming a mom, really. Like you have to hold your baby to even go to the bathroom. You can't take a shower when you want. You can't eat when you want. And I remember mourning that. I do remember in feeling bad that I missed that. And I think that social media does not help. And so women that are running marathons with their big bellies or cranking out all these miles or, you know, doing kickboxing and all that stuff, that is wonderful for them. But your journey is so beautiful and so unique to you. And if you just want to lay on the beach and let that wave roll over you, heck yeah, you do that.
And it doesn't have to do with being tough enough or,
right,
you know, being, right, a strong athlete. It's your body is responding and it's going to respond the way it does. And, you know, some women have an easier time running or being active and some women don't. And that has nothing to do with anything that you have control over.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, this is like such a humbling thing for me to admit, because my mom had five children, all very, very close together, all natural. So I remember when I got pregnant with Mackenzie and I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing this all natural. And I totally rode that train of like, I am so strong. I am so well-trained. I'm muscular. I'm enduring. Like my pain tolerance is through the roof. All of that pride and just this, you know, thinking that I was going to be so strong and do it on my own almost cost me my daughter. And I really, really felt a lot of shame the first few months of Mackenzie's life, because I realized that giving birth and carrying this child, it wasn't about how strong I was. this was like a gift of an opportunity that I got to have my baby girl. And I was at the mercy of modern medicine. I realized that if I had been pregnant a few hundred years before they had C-sections and epidurals and all things like that, I would have been that mom that would have died in childbirth on the prairie. You know, I wouldn't have been able to experience being a mother. And so when I brought her home and I realized not one of my plans for my labor and childbirth came true, not one. And that was not about me being strong. That was about me humbling myself and realizing this is such a gift. And I'm so grateful I get to hold her right now. And I will never, ever again judge myself based on, oh, how strong I am in birth. And I talk to moms all the time that are like, I feel so guilty because I had that epidural, you know, and I said I was going to deliver without any drugs and I was going to do it all naturally and I was going to be a rock star. And it's like, but everything that is going on in that labor isn't about you and your strength. It's about that baby coming into this world, one of the greatest days of your whole life. So it's definitely a flip of perspective when you become a mom. It's like, it isn't about you and how strong you are anymore. It's about raising this new life that gets to enter the world.
Well, and you kind of mentioned, you know, having a plan going in, like having a birth plan. And they always, that's what every child birth class says, like have a plan, have your birth plan. And I just think, you know, athletes are really, we're planners, right? Most of us are like really detailed planners. And yeah, you can have a plan, but at the top of that list of your plan should be flexible, be adaptable, because although you can have an idea of what you want it to look like, most likely it won't turn out like that. And I mean, you just don't really know. Like for me, like Julian was born at 36 weeks and I still thought I had about a month to prepare. And so when I was in the hospital, like, and he was going to be born, I was just like, I'm not ready for this. I haven't like thought out what I was going to do. And so it caught me off guard. And like, thankfully I'm older, so I've had more friends who have had babies and like, you know, just kind of know, I guess I have more experience, life experience. So I was okay with like, let's just see what happens. And I did get an epidural. And, I think just because we're athletes maybe, and we're surrounded by a lot of athletes, people ask me, that's the first question. Like, did you do it naturally or did you have an epidural? I'm like, I got an epidural. Labor started. It was really painful. I was screaming. I was dry heaving. I was, you know, it's just not any pain that I could. Like, I just, you know, it was rocking my world. And so I got an epidural and I was able to be present.
And it was amazing.
It was amazing. And it still wasn't an easy process. I had to push for 4 hours. And I mean, I had a 5-pound baby, so he was little. I can't imagine having a larger baby. This is a lot of details, guys. I don't know if you knew what you were getting into.
Well, and I think just
true mommy brain.
To summarize sort of what both Sally and Stephanie have said, like, well, all three of us, we all gave birth. And I think that's something for every mother and father to remember, that when the baby is there in your arms, you gave birth. And it doesn't matter which way that baby came out, the baby came out and you gave birth to your baby. And that's all that matters. You know, if someone asks you all those questions and, you know, unless it's a friend and they really want to know and they're educating themselves, if you feel like it's a question of like, well, did you do the epidural or not? Or did you do it naturally? You gave birth. And that's all that really matters.
It's kind of like it's kind of like when you finish a marathon and somebody asks you, how fast did you run?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You just did the marathon.
I'm not even going to answer that. Yeah. I finished a marathon. So
yeah,
just
look
go
at my medal. Here it is.
Yeah. I started it and I finished it. You don't need to know how fast I ran it. Go ahead, Don.
Ladies, this conversation has been inspiring and wonderful. It's probably the easiest podcast that Scott and I have ever had to conduct, because we just sat back and we watched the conversation move around without us even engaging in it, which is fantastic because it was better that way. So we talked a lot about giving birth and the process. I think we need a part two of some point, if you're willing to talk about.
We talked about that. Yes, we need a part two, Don, for sure. And part two and three, we can call it the Mama series.
Yeah,
and that'll be fun. And maybe it'll inspire you to create your own Mama's podcast. But yeah, let's do it about after birth, not the after birth, but after birth. And
well, that can be the next one.
Now, in closing, you know, there's such power in social media. There's such power in comments, and you three are leaders, thought leaders, and fitness leaders, and inspire us. Can you just give a word as closing about not taking on and running right up into the end, and just giving permission for people to do what they want? Now, you've said it all the way through, and you're like, Don, weren't you paying attention, or did you check out? No, I listened. but if you could just repeat, ladies, it's okay. You're still an athlete. You're still valuable. It doesn't matter that you have water on the beach running over your feet while your friends are out pumping out personal bests. So with that said, maybe Stephanie, Anna, and Sally, in closing, just throw it around the horn.
Yeah, I can't emphasize that enough. Just taking it day by day, hour by hour, and really just relaxing, breathing, doing what you need to do, because it is a short period of time in your life and you want to be present for that. And it is okay to have a day. And this is actually a day in my life where I woke up in the morning starving, had breakfast, went back to bed, just laid in bed, tried to do a little work, realized I was still starving, and had Jorge go get me some donuts. He went and got 4 donuts. Ate all 4 of them in bed before lunch.
Good job,
Mommy. Yeah, and that's not like normal Stephanie things. Like, I'm just like, get up, go, let's get to work. You know, let's like be on top of it. I mean, I do nutrition, for goodness sakes. You know, like, I'm fine with a donut, but 4 of them. but you know what? That's what my body needed that day. And actually, that was right before I went into labor. And so you just kind of got to go with it and just like put that athlete identity. You don't have to let go of it, but just like shift it a little bit and shift the mom and like this. And I don't even want to say like the mom identity, but just caring for this human that needs you. And it's such an amazing feeling to be a mom and like have a little baby that you know depends on you for their survival. Like you're feeding this thing and you're caring for it and comforting it and soothing it, and it needs you. And I think the athlete identity is still there and you don't have to let go of it, but just maybe shift your priority a little bit. And I know that got off topic, but
no, perfect. Anna, any thoughts?
I think something that I have learned almost 2 years into having Skylar now is to, I think when I say to myself, give yourself permission to learn and to be taught. And so I see Skylar as my Buddha, and she's teaching me every single day about her and about me. And if I just give myself permission to be taught and to learn, then that also releases all those expectations, all those pressures that I've put on myself to do what I want to do or to achieve those things that I think, you know, because my runner brain of these last like 20 years, oh yeah, but should I get fit for that? And should I get fit for that? Well, no, maybe just right now it's about learning about crabs on the beach. And, that for me is more powerful than doing that 30-minute run down the beach. And so I think for all of us, and this is in all phases of your journey into getting pregnant, into being pregnant in labor, and then bringing up your child, whether they're 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, is just sit back and give yourself permission to hear what's happening and to see what's happening and learn and teach from that.
Beautiful, Anna. Sally, in closing, wrap us up here.
Yeah. It's hard to piggyback on what both of the ladies have said, because it's just such rich, good stuff. And I'm excited for this series to continue. I just want to reiterate, I've said it a few times already, just the importance of having grace on yourself and really grasping, just the vastness of the gift that you have to be a mother. And I really am speaking both to moms that have become mothers by way of adoption or becoming a step parent, or who really have had the opportunity to give birth, whatever it is, being a parent is such a gift, and it's supposed to be just like an adventure. You're going to have the storms and the valleys and the mountains to climb, and you never know what's just around the corner. But I'll tell you what, now as I look back, and my kids are 12 and 14 now, I can still remember those first few moments of seeing their face and the first time they walked, and the first day I had to say goodbye to them as they went off to preschool. And it's just, it really does go by in a blink, and no season lasts forever. So no matter how difficult it is, know that there is always something new, and that better things are always going to come. And who you are as a mom is exactly where you should be. And there's no one to compare yourself to, because nobody else was chosen to raise your kids except you. So enjoy every moment.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you.
Yeah, ladies, thank you so much for coming on. And I think that I asked two of the questions that were on my list. And that's great, because there was so much information shared. I would love to do this again and explore a little bit more. I think it's a great topic. I admire all women, whether, like you said, Sally, whether they were blessed to have their own children, or whether they're adopting children, or whether they're godparents to children, or whatever. I mean, it's amazing what you women can do, and I don't even know what we men do. We just kind of sit around and try to help out as much as we can, I guess.
You guys are great men and great dads, and your support and your kindness means everything. We're stronger because of it. So thank you.
So and we all wouldn't be here without Dad either, you know.
That's right? So true.
Kind of important.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, ladies. And we'll revisit this down the road a little while. Maybe we'll let it simmer a little bit and have a second edition of the Mothers Podcast. So until then, go out and run.
Or not.
Or eat donuts if you need to.
Yeah.
Yes, Stephanie.
We want to remind you that we have a bonus miles episode with Stephanie, Anna, and Sally on our Patreon channel. If you go to our Patreon page, which you can reach by going to trailrunnernation.com and click the support us tab at the very top and subscribe at the ambassador level or higher, then you have access to these bonus miles. And this week, here's a little snippet.
Wait, do we get to know the story about the yak, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you'd like.
Where was that?
It was in Nepal, because that's where the yaks live.
Yeah.
What we did was we asked each of these ladies to anonymously send us four unusual facts about them that other people may not know. And then we tried to turn it into a game show, which really didn't come off that great. That's why it's in the bonus miles. It was a real fun discussion. We got a lot of really funny stories, and it was just a good time. You don't want to miss this bonus miles or any of our other bonus miles. You can get all of them by signing up on Patreon at the ambassador level or higher. Go to trailrunnernation.com and click that support us tab at the top.